Dear Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with my sisters in Christ. I pray that all of us will be known as women who truly love you and strive to be obedient to you in all we do, think, and say. I thank you for these ladies and for the privilege of speaking for you and for this time to be together in your name. Amen. Well, for those of you who do not know me that well, I thought I'd give you a bit of a testimony. I did not grow up in a Christian home. As a child, I never saw my mom or my dad go to church. So I just think of all you young families and how you're bringing your children up in church, and it really blesses me to see the faithfulness of you younger people. I did attend church occasionally with the lady next door, and I did hear the gospel, and my heart was tender for the Lord, but I didn't make a decision because I really didn't have anyone to give me that training or background. I didn't go to church that much. The lady moved away, and so I didn't go to church. But as I got when I became married and had children of my own, I had a desire, and I know that was the Holy Spirit calling me to go to, and I wanted to take my children to church because I wanted them to know about the Lord. And so I did go to church. I did take my children, and I did come to faith through the gospel. And the first thing I wanted to do is just tell everyone about the Lord and what had happened to me. And guess who the first one was? Mom. And I talked to her, I gave her the gospel. In fact, I really preached to Mom. It's a wonder she hadn't said, go home, don't come back, go home. But anyhow, she started going to church, and then by faith, my mom and my dad both came in their later years. My children do not ever remember my mom and dad not being in church because we went to a little country church, and they drove out every Sunday and went to church with us Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So
I'm sorry, but I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to fix this so it's not in your way. You keep talking.
Okay. So, but you know, when I came, I was so hungry for the Word, and I was truly what you call a babe in Christ. I was ignorant of the Word. I had a lot of studying to do, so I read Bible stories to my children so that I could kind of understand what they said too. And so that's the story of my early life. And, you know, I have also, Harold and I both retired on March 31st of 1999. And, you know, we had an opportunity to go many places and see many things. But, you know, the best thing that we enjoyed about our traveling, or what I enjoyed most about our traveling, was meeting other Christians, because we did try to go to church while we were away. And so, anyhow, it was a blessing to meet with like-minded people, and no matter where you are, when you're with like-minded people, you know that you're all, it's easy to talk to other Christians, and I think Serena just said that to me this morning. She said, no matter where you go, when you're with Christians, you have always something to talk to. Well, anyhow, retirement from our secular jobs did not mean retirement from serving in church. And so I always want to do as much as I can. And I don't see anything in the Bible that where it says older women should retire. So that's why I'm up here. And I cannot emphasize the importance of enough of a daily walk with the Lord. There needs to be a time of Bible study and prayer daily. Now, I know a lot of you younger women are busy with children, but I know there can be some time during the day that you can spend in the Word and with prayer to your Lord. The Bible tells us to study to approve ourselves. It's good to check ourselves to see where we are from where we were last year at this time. Are we growing in the Lord? Do we just give lip service, or do we give heart service? We need to know God's word, for there are so many things that want to distract us from living our lives for the Lord. You know, I love to read the Psalms, and one particular Psalm that I like is Psalm 57. And during the time that David wrote this Psalm, he was hiding in a cave from Saul, his foe who was trying to kill him. There are two ever-present realities before him. There's the gracious God and the formidable foe. The psalm seesaws between the two, but faith in God is greater than the fear of the foe. So you see, David does not demand deliverance as if he had a right to it, but he asked God for mercy. He described himself as sheltered in the shadow of God's wings, though he is in a dark cave. Nothing can hinder God from accomplishing his purposes in the lives of his people. Well, we have a foe today. His name is Satan. But greater is he in us than he is in the world. And we read Revelation, we win. We win. The book doesn't promise to, always promises the one who studies it, because Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Yet there are those today who try to discourage us from studying prophecy. But I'm so thankful for our pastor, Steve, who has taken us through the book of Revelation every Sunday evening. I read the Bible through every year, from Genesis to Revelation. And you know, I always see something new in the scriptures that I didn't see before. That's because I'm experiencing a different phase in my life. I'm either getting into a problem, getting out of a problem, or getting ready to start one. The Bible is relevant to wherever, whatever you are experiencing. And you know, my life hasn't been all rosy. I can smile now, and right now things are good. But I don't know what's coming tomorrow. So we need to be in the Word so that God can encourage us when we do get in that problem. I strive to live that way because, let's face it, I'm getting to the age that I don't know when the Lord's going to call me home. And if I don't make it to the rapture, He may decide to call me before then. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference what age you are. You never know when that appointed time is, so we need to be ready no matter what age we are. And you know, God is more interested in our holiness than our happiness, and He calls us to be holy. And so that's what we want to look at in your book today. We're going to read 1 Peter 1:13-16. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, I'll just read it. And we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at means to holiness, the mandate to holiness, and the motivation for our holiness. Okay, verses 13 says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Okay, the first point we're going to look at is in verse 13. We're going to just look at a few points there. It says, "Therefore, preparing our minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, this verse tells us to prepare our minds for action. What is it telling us to do? It's telling us that we are to pull in all the loose ends of our thinking by rejecting the hindrances of the world and focus on the future grace of God. So we are to pull in the loose ends. And that means get all the silliness and the worldliness out of our minds and think more on God during the day. Think about what God has done for you. Praise Him. Ask Him to guide you. Listen to Christian music or someone preaching the word, or just keep your mind focused on Him all through the day. And we're all prone, all of us, to get caught up in the busyness of our daily lives. But we as Christians just fill our thoughts with what the Word of God says during the day and memorize Scripture. The verse also tells us that we are to be sober-minded. This includes steadfastness, self-control, clarity of mind. We're to be correctly in charge of our priorities and not drawn to various allurements of the world that might take up our time. And the next point in verse 13 is to set your hope fully. There may come a time in our country, even, when we will have to endure persecution. But for now, let's just be thankful for the privileges that we do have, and that we still have that privilege to worship God as we please and in the church that we please. And the last point in verse 13 is grace that will be brought to you. Our salvation is very much our blessing, but it is much more for the purpose of eternally glorifying God for bestowing on us as His believers His endless and limited kindness and grace. The whole heaven glorifies Him for what He has done for sinners. You know, even the angels are praising God for what He has done for us as sinners. And Luke 15:7 tells us even how God is joyous when we repented of our sins. Now 1 Peter 14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Our lifestyles must not reflect what we formerly did in ignorance, because we didn't know what the Word says. We didn't know how we were supposed to act. Before we were called, our Heavenly Father gave us a new nature. After He called us, He gave us a new nature. And so we're to live up to that new nature that God has called us to. Point number 2 is the mandate for holiness. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. And mandate means a command from one in authority. We have no greater authority than God. So He gave us this command to be holy. Holiness defines the Christian's new nature and conduct. And so the Word tells us it is our responsibility in our inner and outer walk to be conformed to God's perfect will and holy will. And then number 3, motivation for holiness. In verse 16 it says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that means we must have a change in our minds for us to live a righteous life. Although absolute holiness can never be achieved in this life, all areas of life should be in the process of being completely conformed to God's perfect and holy will. So let's just ask ourselves, do we deal with any of these issues? Worry, fear, hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy? You know, when a runner trains for the Olympics, he gets rid of all the bulk and runs in the bare minimum. We too, as we run the race of faith, must strip off everything that would hold us back. Many things can weigh us down in our Christian walk if we let them. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This verse has been a constant help to me as I take 3 steps forward and 2 back. We all have to deal with this from time to time, but we just pick ourselves up, ask for forgiveness, and go on because Jesus Christ, our Savior, is there on our behalf because of the work He completed on the cross where His shed blood covers our sin. As the world around us seems to be growing darker, we fix our hope in Jesus and the truth of God's Word. Our hope is in Christ, not in this world. We belong to God, and it pleases Him when we obey Him. Let's not pattern ourselves after the way of the world in the way we dress, in the way we talk. The attention we give to being submissive to our husbands should not be a drudgery, but a pleasure because it pleases God. And let's be careful what kind of books we read. Just because it makes the bestseller list doesn't mean it's good. We need to test what we read and adhere to the Bible. The Bible is the final authority. And sometimes there's just a little truth in a book to just hook you in and a lot of deceit to follow. Let's remember that being holy is this. If Jesus came at any time, everything would be in place. We would be ready to meet Him. And this also that a loving God will not give us a command that's impossible to keep. J.C. Ryles has written a book on holiness, and he lists 9 ways to live our lives as our Heavenly Father commands. Number 1 is one mind with God. That means hate what God hates. Number 2 is shunning every known sin. Number 3 is following mildness. That means controlling our tongue, not to be gossipers, and not to say things that are not appropriate. Number 4 is self-denial and self-control. And number 5 is a spirit of mercy. In other words, be useful to others. And number 6 is fearing God. God is watching us, and we will stand before Him. Number 7 is humility. Esteem others before ourselves. Number 8 is faithfulness in our duties. And number 9 is to set your affections on things above. This is a thing to ponder, this saying. This world is not our home. How can we be happy in heaven if we're not holy on earth? And so when we are in that spot again, because we will fail, we all will fail. We don't fear, we don't wallow in our guilt, we don't try to hide from God. Let's pursue Him all the more because He has given us His Word. And do you know what else? There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go but to God. Jude 1, 24 and 25 says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Christ Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever." I would like to close with this quote from C.S. Lewis. "How little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it's irresistible." Thank you, ladies.
Like little knees up here.
It's pretty hot, so I'm going to hold it down here so I don't have a louder voice than everybody else. Thank you, Barbara.
I know that I can say for all of us that I'm so thankful for beautiful older women in our church who give us wisdom, and I've just appreciated Barbara over the last few years. I love her. So thank you for these tips. I just always want to remind you guys, I just have grown to love just our small theme of sure and steady, and I just have been really meditating on that verse and on those words, and I feel like everything that we're going to hear this weekend can really tie in with that. And something that Barbara said just in the beginning, our means to our holiness, she was talking about being sober-minded and pulling in all the loose ends. And I think if you think of yourself walking with Christ in a sure and steady way, that would be something that we can all work on, is maybe governing our emotions a little bit better and reining those things in, and being sure and steady in our walk, in that we're trusting the Lord with everything. We're not, you know, all over the place and not being sober-minded. So I love those tips. The J.C. Ryle book is called Holiness. It's a good one if you ever want to read that one. I loved those tips that she got from there. So we are going to take a quick potty break, about 10 minutes. You can get some more coffee or tea or water, and come back in 10 minutes. I'll kind of give you a warning before we start, and we'll start up again with our second session. Okay? Thanks.